In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point, you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Charlie Grimes, your engineer, and Rachel Keene, conservative mama, with me today, as she is on Thursday. So thank you for joining me. How are you today?
Good. It's good to be here. A lot going on.
Sun's trying to shine.
The sun, I know. I haven't seen it, and I need to see it.
Yeah, we're Coloradans. We need that.
we're
not used to the non-sun
stuff. It's my own
stuff.
Personal drug, I need it.
I think that's why you live here.
Yes.
At least I do.
And so I kind of get thrown off when it goes a little...
Goes away
for a little bit.
Yes.
I fully
agree. All right, real quick, we got Dr. Anthony Harper joining us now. Dr. Harper, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm very thankful. And I survived the White House 2 days ago.
Nice. Oh. What happened? Give us an update.
Oh, well, you know, I was trying to get hold of that press secretary, and I did actually talk with her briefly. You know, the hot news was that the trial, the verdict coming out of Minnesota about the police officer and all that. And so I caught her at the end of the day to talk with her and introduce myself to her. And she said, I'll have to wait till next week. So I need to get a picture with you and talk with you. And then she just was in a hurry and said, next week, you know. So, but her staff, I had a great visit with them. Actually brought a little humor into the White House in the midst of all the tension.
Nice.
They appreciated some humor there because I'm from Idaho, famous potatoes, you know.
Right.
And, the serious issue is about the National Day of Prayer. So I've made it clear to the press staff why I'm here. You know, that day was to ask the President Biden to respond to the National Day of Prayer coming up Thursday, May 6th, what he's going to do in light of President Lincoln's call to prayer and repentance. And they were all ears, and they wanted to know what Lincoln had to say about this proclamation. I was able to boldly say about some things from Lincoln, like America is a nation's forgotten God. We have become too proud and arrogant and self-reliant, too proud to pray to the one that made us. I went on to say that President Lincoln called for a time of national repentance of our many national sins, that he will have mercy on us. And then I quoted from what he referred to in his proclamation on humiliation and fasting, and that is Psalm 33:12, blessed only are those nations whose God is the Lord. So I was able to make, you know, boldly some strong statements. They took it fairly well. They were very interested, and I told them where to read more in depth what Lincoln had to say as far as the solution for America.
Hmm.
But we know we're in serious jeopardy, and I know the hot news today is, you know, with the D.C., Washington, D.C. statehood.
Right.
That passing in the House. Hopefully it fails in the Senate. But it really is, and I believe with a lot of conservatives, it is a power grab.
Yes, it is.
And
agree.
The Democrat Party is really shifting very quickly. It's clearly in the socialist, and eventually, President Trump said, could be into the communist.
Well, really, Dr. Harper, in fact, Rachel and I were talking about this very subject before you came on today. Really, what they're doing is showing the true colors of who they are, who they have been for many years now. And all they're doing is solidifying what we've known, you know, on our side for quite some time now. They're really just, you know, fulfilling what we've thought all along in doing the things that they're doing. And you're right. A lot of this is a big power grab on their part. And I think frankly, Dr. Harper, I'll get your opinion on this, but I think if they're not careful in 2022, this could sting them.
Oh, we're really stinging really, really bad here. The Democrat Party is actually affecting the freedom of the press, other constitutional freedoms, and hoping to get some relief here. Press access, I'm only allowed to, I think I mentioned to you, only to be there once a week. That's unacceptable. During the Trump administration, I could be there 7 days a week. So
right.
I'm fighting hard to get press access, to be fair across the board to journalists there. And this is so important to protect the freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reporting on these other freedoms, constitutional freedoms issues, and anti-Semitism. And hopefully, you know, we can bring real attention to this on Fox News and many other news agencies about, you know, why it's so important to have good media there reporting
right.
truth.
Right. Well done, Dr. Harper. That's a win. I appreciate that very much. Keep us informed. How do folks find you, and how can they pray for you and be updated?
Yeah, please pray for me. It's not easy because White House, our website is imcnews.org, and you can click on the YouTube banner to see the White House reports that I added Tuesday. But, yeah, prayer number one for encouragement for me, victory, and getting this press access, not only for me and other journalists that are being excluded.
And the website one more time, Dr. Harper.
IMCnews.org.
Okay, perfect. We will get that up on our website and Facebook page as well. Dr. Harper, thank you as always, sir.
Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Appreciate that very much. Okay. And by the way, I should have mentioned this as we came into the show today. Today is Earth Day.
Okay.
In case some of you out there didn't know that. So
yes, it's all over the place. You can't
everywhere.
Get away from it, John.
Well, I honored Earth Day today.
Okay, good.
By driving my old 2004 Dodge Cummins diesel. I figured, you know what? If it's Earth Day, I'll drive the dirtiest vehicle I have. I'm going to celebrate.
Love it. Yes.
What do you think?
I like it. Good. You know, it's become a cult.
It really is.
It's become like...
It's a religion.
I put it in the notes today.
It's a religion. So in the notes today, I put down that Earth Day, it's like Easter... For Christians, for the earth lovers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But you know what? Like, when you start to really dissect this stuff, this is just a side note. Did you know that John Kerry today said that we need to get rid of carbon dioxide from our atmosphere?
That's what we live on, folks.
He really said
John Kerry, that's what we live on.
He really said that. I was like, so you want to eliminate all humans, plant life?
We have to have that and many other things to survive.
And this is the climate czar. Okay, so this is the guy that's in charge of everything. He's saying we need to get rid of carbon dioxide from our atmosphere. I was like, okay, I've heard it all. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Stop, you're looking at me weird.
Oh, I'm looking at you like, this guy's a nut job.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like, but this, that, okay, science, you learn carbon dioxide, all that, like when you're like, what, in the third grade?
Pretty early.
This guy, he's in charge of having to get rid of carbon dioxide from our atmosphere. Are you looking it up?
I'm looking to see what mix we actually need, because I don't know that off the top of my head.
We exhale carbon dioxide.
Yes,
plants,
we do.
Yes, and plants emit carbon dioxide. So what is he trying to say?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I really don't know.
And these people, because I always come back to this, I'm like... They're so hardcore into this stuff, and yet they're doing the opposite of what they're preaching. We got John Kerry flying around on private planes, but now he's like, oh, he's suddenly gotten commercial because he got caught flying multiple times.
I just Googled this.
Yeah.
Okay, how much CO2 do we need to live on?
I don't know.
The amount of CO2 in the atmosphere was reduced by about 90% during the last 150 million years. Now, that's debatable. I'm not going there. But the rest of this is important.
Okay.
If this trend continues... CO2 will inevitably fail to levels that threaten the survival of plants, which require a minimum of 150 parts per million to survive.
Yeah, plants need it.
So we actually need that, John.
Yes. But this is the guy in charge, which is really scary. There's no science, though. There's no science behind all that. This is all, and this is what I've learned. And I kind of knew this before going into, you know, 2020, which was just this groundbreaking year, epiphany for me. But all of these people, scientists, doctors, they can all be bought. They can all say exactly what they're told to say for a certain price.
Well, and the other thing, too, just that along the lines of what Rachel's saying, and we've proven this, and there's folks like Patrick Moore, who we have on, you know, all the time, who is the founder of Greenpeace, will tell you the same thing. The reality is, if any of these individuals out there go against the things that they're actually talking about, their funding dries up. This is all about money. It's a money grab.
Oh, yeah, they will ruin you. They will ruin. Same with doctors.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's why. So that's why this continues to perpetuate.
Well, you look at Dr. Simone. She was fired. Hmm? I mean, she was in a hospital working, everything like that. She started to ask questions, which we're not allowed to do, and they fired her. And then you hear all these other doctors that are like, oh, yeah, I was fired too because I started asking questions. So same with scientists that are questioning a lot of the stuff that it's like, just go with it. This is what we're saying. Don't question anything. It's happening.
Yeah, gone are the days. Again, the old bumper stickers when I was a kid used to read. Charlie can remember this. Question authority. Question everything.
Yes.
Gone are the day of those bumper stickers.
Yeah.
Because now it is go with everything. Don't ask any questions. And in fact, if you ask a question, we're going to shut you down.
But real science is asking questions. It's constantly being questioned, being tested. It starts as it's a theory. You start with a theory and it's like,
and you follow it up with data.
Yeah. And then you try to prove that theory to be correct until it turns into an absolute. But what we're doing is we're just like, it's a theory. Don't question the theory. Don't ask it questions. Mm-hmm. And most of the time with science, with any kind in the medical field as well, there's a panel. There's no panel anymore of anything. It's just this is, well, look at Dr. Fauci. He's the only doctor in the world right now.
By the way, the one thing that they would love to have gone away, most left, too lefty, you know, hardcore, earth-loving, you know, those folks, you get it, you know, the tree-hugger types, would love to see cars, the internal combustion engine, go away. So when we come back, I actually pulled an article out of Al Jazeera, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
That talks about the things that have happened in, you know, with the advancement of the combustion engine. So I'll read some of this when we come back, because as a car guy myself, I actually love the combustion engine. I think it's done a lot for not just America, but the whole planet in general. It has literally lifted us up. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some of that when we come back. Plus, we got a lot more in store for you today. Don't forget, Kurt Rogers is going to join me at 5 o'clock as well. And when he comes on, we're going to talk about Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. We got a special guest coming on talking about that. I wanted Kurt to be involved with that interview as well, so he's going to join us then. He'll be with us through the whole 5 o'clock hour, by the way. Let's see. What else? Oh, Steve House is going to join us here in just a few minutes as well. And then we've got 8 ways COVID vaccines can kill you.
It's kind of intense.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Anyways, there's a lot going on. We'll get to that plus much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. As I just said a moment ago, Kurt's going to be on with us at 5 o'clock. In the meantime, anything you need from Kurt, call him directly, 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hey, I got an email earlier, late yesterday, asking where can I take a couple of vehicles that I need some collision work done? Not necessarily, you know, because they've been in an accident, but they want to get these vehicles fixed up. They realize the value. They know that the value of used cars right now is at an all-time high, and a new car prices continue to escalate as well, so they're going to fix up what they have. They're asking, where do I go to get these things freshened up? I said, hey, a good shop, call Al. He'd love to take care of you. And that's really what they're there for, whether it's a collision or you just want to freshen up your ride and make it great again and to be able to continue to drive that thing, you know, indefinitely, they can do that for you. And by the way, now is the best time to do that. 720-541-7697. Call them today or find them at klzradio.com.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into A Good Shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
Rush Three is in Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, Charlie Grimes, your engineer. All right, I have this clip from John Kerry that you sent.
Well, yeah, let's
Should
hear
I just play
it.
This
yes,
real quick?
Yes, you got to do it, yeah.
All right, Charlie, here we go.
You're off to such a great, quick start. You said twice getting to net zero is going to be hard, really hard. And just remind everybody that will depend on whether or not we have some breakthrough technologies and breakthrough innovations, number one. But even if we get to net zero, we still have to get carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. So this is a bigger challenge than a lot of people.
What a moron.
I know, right?
What's really funny is some of the moronic comments on Twitter afterwards. Somebody says, why is this controversial? The next guy says, well, that would kill all plant life, but hey, go on with the plan.
I know, right? It's so bad. Oh, my gosh.
Well, what that shows you,
yeah.
by the way, is how bamboozled
yes.
most of the public is into thinking the exact same thing John Kerry said is what we should
They're
be
like,
doing.
Yeah, that sounds like a
yeah,
good idea.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Let's do it.
Let's get rid of CO2.
Okay. What else do you want me to do? I mean, they're zombies.
They are.
John, it's so frustrating.
They are.
They just do whatever they're told. They believe whatever they're told. They don't question a thing. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's happened to our planet. I literally am like, am I the only one questioning? I need to hear from other people. I really do. Because I'm like, is it just me?
No.
Because I feel like I'm surrounded by...
Half the voters.
Yeah.
Close to half. I mean, I realize the other side beat us, but they cheated. So bottom line is, Rachel, there's half of the voters that agree with us. That's the plus side.
See, but then what they do is they censor you so you feel like you're alone.
Which, by the way, just so everybody knows, and why it's annoying, and I don't like it, and it's not fair, what the other side doesn't realize is when you tell somebody long enough you can't do it,
yeah.
all it does is expand the item you're saying they can't do. So let's use China and the church, for example.
Okay.
So China's been against the church for years.
Oh, yeah. They kill Christians. They're horrible.
But the underground church in China has exploded.
True.
They are doing much better in that area than we do here. So anytime you try to shut something down, mm-hmm. it typically expands.
Hmm.
So my point is, while they may try to shut free speech down in this country and silence us on the conservative side, we, of course, are smarter enough. We will find other platforms, i.e. conservative radio and other things,
yes.
to still get the message out. And the reality is, no, we won't be silenced. In fact, all they will do is drive more people to our side to listen if they're not careful. This is going, I believe, to backfire on them big time.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, back in the 1930s or whatever when they you know, eliminated alcohol. People found... like the speakeasy spot, you know, like things popped up where it's okay, like people don't naturally, especially Americans, want to be told what they can and cannot do.
No.
And I think but it takes people saying no.
People forget that NASCAR came from Prohibition.
Yeah.
We have racing today, flat circle track racing today because of Prohibition. Because those guys used to race against the cops to get the alcohol where it needed to go. And out of that came NASCAR.
Well, there you go. Well, speaking of racing, combustion engine, you were going to talk about that.
Yes, speaking of, great segue. This is a statement by Al Jazeera, not me.
Okay.
Al Jazeera saying this. I pulled this off their website. The internal combustion engine revolutionized human life.
Wow.
It made the commonplace possible, the car, the Uber, the bus, the motorbike. We took to the skies in aircraft and spread our wings across the world. It even mobilized war with tanks, ships, and submarines. Agriculture productivity soared with the development of the tractor and other farm machinery. It gave oil-producing countries unimaginable wealth. In other words, folks, the combustion engine literally, single-handedly lifted up the entire planet.
Oh, yeah. Completely agree.
And yet, we have a bunch of lefties today that want to kill it.
They want to demonize it, too.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, anytime you hear somebody out there demonizing and telling you that the combustion engine is a bad thing, remind them of what I just said. It literally, single-handedly, did more to lift up the entire world than probably any other invention known to mankind has ever done.
Right. Well, it's just a constant attack. Like this whole thing, the whole reason they're saying that is because it comes back to climate change, right?
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to climate change. You know, you guys are destroying the earth, humanity. You're horrible. You're horrible. You're horrible. It's like a beating down of who we are as just mankind, humankind, and they want to beat us down to the point where when you lose your value, when you don't see yourself as valuable, then you're more easily controlled by those that do see themselves as valuable. And that's the goal. The goal is to get us to feel like, okay, like almost like subhuman. You're not as worthy. And that opens the door for people to kind of control you because mm-hmm. you don't feel valuable. And this climate change movement, it's a real, hey, you've ruined this planet. It's your fault. You're a horrible person.
Right.
Just because you're breathing, animals are dying. But just because you're existing, it's all your fault. And it's beating down.
That's right.
It's beating us down.
But no, it is. A true environmentalist, and I believe this, and you can talk to them, and they will agree with me if they're truly being honest, which a lot of them lie, I get it. But if they're truly being honest, a true environmentalist who loves Earth Day and loves the Earth like we're talking about,
yeah.
believes humans are a scourge on Earth. And they would love nothing more than to see all of us gone.
Right.
They don't value life,
no.
which, by the way, is one of the problems we have not only in this country but in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really want to get down to some of what we're seeing when it comes to mass shootings and things like that, go blame the environmentalists, by the way, because they devalue life.
Yeah, they don't value life.
They don't
life.
Want us to be
no.
here.
No.
At all.
And these same people are totally fine with abortion.
Correct. Well,
I mean, it's,
why? Because
right,
it
like,
slows down.
Like, if you value life, that the people that really value life are those that recognize life at its earliest stages and try to protect it. That those are people
right.
that, and I love this planet, and I believe in taking care of it.
I
believe in recycling things. I believe in not littering. I believe in taking care of things. I don't think I don't have 10 homes. I'm not some big, you know, marching around. I respect our planet.
But,
I'm a conservative.
Though,
I believe in conservation.
But by the way, if you did, so what?
Right.
This earth can handle that. It's not
right.
a problem,
it
Rachel.
It can't handle it.
If you want to have 10 homes, go
right.
for it.
Right, but it can handle it. But what I'm saying is I'm a conservationist. Like, I believe in taking care of the planet. And
agreed.
I resent the fact that the leftists out there think that they're the only ones that care about our planet. What I resent is leftists thinking that they can regulate us so much so that they can save the planet. And that's just a complete and total myth.
You're right. Fully agree. By the way, along those lines, as we said earlier, they don't value life. They're part of the problem that we have
right.
with all the things that we have going on. And I will tell you on top of that, and this is from somebody that, keep in mind, folks listening, I had shops in Boulder, Colorado, and Fort Collins, Colorado, mm-hmm. two of the most liberal areas you could probably ever think of in having a business.
Right.
And I will tell you, they were full of a lot of lefties that are the people we're talking about. And I will also tell you that they were some of the cheapest individuals I ever had to deal with and would spend the least amount of money to maintain their car properly, thereby having it pollute less than anybody else I had, especially conservatives. So while they will tell you all of these things, they will not, and I repeat this, they will not put their money where their mouth is. They're a bunch of stinking hypocrites.
Right, and let's just throw this in there. Over 1.5 billion masks are floating around in the ocean right now.
1.5.
Okay, how many of those people, I don't wear a mask, like rarely ever.
Yeah, only if you have to.
Okay, so who, what kind of people are throwing the masks in the ocean?
I can already tell you.
Right? Who's littering?
Dennis, you're next, sir. What's going on?
Hey, John, since you're speaking about these internal combustion engines, do you think these car manufacturers have been threatened, or why are they all going to EVs?
They have bought in, not all of them, by the way, because, you know, even Tesla has said, while I'm making electric cars, there's not enough in the power grid to even support everybody else doing what I'm doing. Elon Musk even said that. The CEO of Toyota has said, no, that's not a direction we're going for the same reason that Elon Musk said so. But the guys, Genesis, that have bought into it, I firmly believe there's one reason only they've bought into it. They know right now that those stock prices, when people come out and make those announcements, go up. They know they can bring money back into the shareholder and into the company at the same time by doing so. And I believe it's only that and that alone. These folks know in their heart this is not the direction we should head and that it's going to somehow save the planet. They know that's not the case, but they do it because of the marketing side of the fence only.
So what happens to their stock price when people figure out that not everybody can charge an EV?
Oh, it'll go down.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that, Dennis. And here's how I see folks like Mary Barra. They are looking short term. Now, they'll tell you they're looking long term, but they're looking short term. And, you know, folks like Mary, you know, she'll make enough money being CEO of GM, Dennis, that when that time comes, when things tank and she's no longer there, do you think she's going to get hurt?
No.
Of course. There's your answer.
Unless she walks away with a ton of stock that she can't unload.
Yeah, but, you know, even before then, Dennis, typically folks like her, I mean, yes, a lot of her income will be in that manner, but trust me, she will amass, you know, plenty of wealth beforehand that by the time she leaves that particular seat, she'll be fine. But, and you're right, eventually her stock will drop. GM stock will drop.
And this is the first time I'm hearing people talk about the fact that not everybody can have an electric car.
They can't. I own one. I mean, I own one for that very reason.
Because we can't handle it.
No, I purposely, for everybody listening, and we're going to do an interview at the top of the hour with Chevrolet, Dennis, so stay tuned. We've got a guy coming on to talk about the new Bolt EUV at the top of the hour. Partially, I did that because I have one on order. I currently own a Bolt, as you all know, and I only did that so I could learn and really poke holes in. When I get a lot of these guests, by the way, that come on and talk about EVs, and I say, oh, yeah, I own one.
Yeah.
I know firsthand X, Y, and Z. You can always sort of, Dennis and Rachel, yeah, you can kind of hear them get a little uncomfortable because at that point they're realizing, oh, yeah, this guy probably knows more about this than I do. Mm-hmm. In most cases, Dennis, I do because I own one, drive one. I know the limitations. And it's not a mainstream car. It's not a car right now every single person out there driving can own, period.
But why aren't we talking about the fact that we can't, like, we literally can't handle all of everyone having,
because it's a pipe dream that they think we can. And here's the other fact of the matter, and Dennis, you know this, the majority of the media, number one, don't know anything about cars, number two, don't know anything about electricity, number three, don't own one like I do and can't talk firsthand of it. That's the problem, right?
Right, true.
Absolutely.
That's the issue, and that's
why
I bought one.
The electric Hummer is out?
Is it actually out now, Dennis? I've seen a couple of videos of guys on test drives and such, but I've not seen an actual, you know, one in somebody's driveway.
Oh, no, I haven't either. But as I understand it, they were getting close to being released.
I think they're very, very close, yes. And again, by the way, everybody listening, Dennis, you know this, I'm not against technology.
No,
everybody listening,
right.
I love technology. I'm a techno geek guy, and part of why I bought the Bolt was to even learn more about all that end of things. But with every technology, there are pros and cons. I mean, Dennis, you I know the line of work you came from, and even in your world where you came from, technology was good and or bad at times.
True.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, because there's a very limited number of emergency vehicle manufacturers.
Right.
And they're slim pickings when you're specking a fire truck.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, what do you got? Two choices, basically? LaFrance and Pierce?
Maybe three or four,
okay.
But the other two only do maybe a dozen fire trucks a year.
Got it. So really, your two choices. There you go.
So, John, when you're driving...
Thanks, Dennis, by the way. Appreciate it very much. Go ahead.
When you're driving around in your Volt, mm-hmm. Do you get a lot of people that are like coexist, like people that are like winking at you? And
I'm usually driving past them super fast,
hey.
So usually no.
I would like to see you driving around in that.
Oh, it's fast.
I'm sure.
It's fast.
Is it?
Oh, it's the funnest
awesome.
Car I have. It's actually the funnest car I have to drive. I'm
okay.
not exaggerating.
Really?
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay.
It's a blast.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I'm not exaggerating. It is literally the funnest car I own to drive because it's instant power. An electric car, that's the plus side to an electric car. So for car guys like me that love, you know, power, technology, and all of that, the feel of the road and so on, it's instant power. There is no, you know, pushing on the gas and waiting for things to sort of, if you would, wind up to then get moving. No, it's instantaneous. So if I'm doing 50 and I want to pass somebody, I mash the pedal and I'm doing 70 before you know it.
Interesting.
Oh, it's that fast. I mean, it's a little rocket. I'm not exaggerating.
Okay.
It is literally one of the, well, it's this fast. I guess I'll say this on air.
Okay, let's hear it.
Everybody probably knows or has heard about the new little Kia Stinger. It's a V6 high horsepower sedan Kia makes. It's a pretty fast little car.
Okay.
Kia makes it, and it's really fast.
Okay.
So I was going down 93 the other day, Highway 93 up in the Golden area. And this little Stinger kept getting up next to people and trying to race them to the next stoplight. Anybody that would give him a run for the money, he would do it.
Okay.
So I pull up next to him in my Chevy Bolt.
Yeah.
Not in sport mode, by the way, because it does have sport mode, which makes it faster. So not in sport mode. He takes off, I take off, and I kept all the way up with him.
Nice.
No issues. Okay. I think he was looking over thinking,
what's going on?
Yeah,
what are you
holy
driving?
Cow,
what is
what's this?
This
guy next to me?
Hmm.
And if I had been in sport mode, I think I would have beat him.
Okay.
So, just a side note. Yeah. By the way, for everybody,
for everybody listening,
I was not street racing. That was on a nice wide open road, and you know, kind of rolled into a start, and you know, was in a passing lane and all that. So
that was big when I was.
Wasn't any kind of danger, anything along those lines. You know, stopped when I got to about 40,
street
45
racing.
Miles an hour. But yeah, I could easily keep up and could have gone much faster
okay.
if you needed to.
You should start, you know, pulling up to people.
This particular car, the 0 to 50 mile an hour, is as fast as anything out there.
I would have never thought this.
Oh, it's super fast.
I would have never thought like electric cars are super fast.
They're actually, and this will be one of their selling features down the road, by the way. They're one of the most fun cars you'll ever drive, and I mean that sincerely.
Really?
Yes, and if you don't understand that, you have to drive one. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, no, don't knock it till you try it. Now, I say all that to say this. I didn't buy it for all the reasons a greenie wants you to buy it for.
Right, okay. You weren't buying it to save the planet?
Oh, well, first of all, there isn't a new car made that you're going to buy to save the planet, because the amount of resources it took to build that one new car far exceed what you're driving
right,
now.
Right, but nobody talks about that.
Of course not.
Nobody talks about the battery in this car.
No, in fact, even the rare earth metals and the things it takes mining-wise to actually build that car, no, you're not saving anything.
And how does it decompose?
It doesn't. I mean, you have to recycle the battery, and even that's getting better. It's something we could come back and even talk to Steve House about a little bit. They're getting better at the recycling of the batteries, but it still isn't where it needs to be quite yet.
Okay.
But, you know, that's one area I think we will get to.
Do you think you are, it is a form of saving the planet while if you're driving an electric car?
Shoot, no.
No.
I've still got to put electricity in the bad boy.
Okay.
My car, and I did this before, and I got to go to break, but real quick, I did the math on this. My car, I drive about 15,000 miles a year. My car uses about 60% of the electricity that an average American home uses.
Oh, my gosh.
In one car. So tell me, am I saving the planet?
No.
Thank you. There's your answer. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next, folks. Anything you need when it comes to your estate plan, give Michael a call today. It's great. It's easy. It's just a simple phone call, and he'll do the rest. Call him at 720-394-6887.
KLZ's Mobile Estate Planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend on your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
After more than 58 weeks of 2 weeks to flatten the curve, POLIS has decided to end the statewide dial dictates over our small businesses. Kim Munson here. Friday, Hal Van Herke, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, explains what getting rid of the dial means for you and for small businesses in Colorado. Dr. Jill Vecchio shares her research on the change to HIPAA regulations and how this affects the security of your medical data. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Tired of the corporate rat race? Time to retire? Call Chris Cantwell at Transworld Business Advisors to buy or sell your business. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, Steve House joining us now. How are you doing, Mr. House?
I am doing well, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Talking a little bit about my Chevy Bolt and, you know, electric vehicles and all the good stuff. And the reality is, and I just explained a moment ago, even to Rachel off air, that no, if my one car uses 60% of the average household electricity in the country, there's no way every household could have an electric car.
No.
Not enough electricity to go around.
That's true. Although, you know what makes this so interesting is I got picked up to go to the airport this morning at 4:45 in a Tesla.
Okay.
And the guy that owns this Tesla, you know, airport service is somebody I know. And we were just talking this morning about Elon Musk's plans for power generation because of the need for more electricity, faster charging times,
right?
You know, better capacities, etc. I mean, you know, I love the car. It's quiet. It's great to ride in. I don't know what a Bolt's like, but I'm assuming it's something similar.
Yes.
So we've got to address power generation one way or the other. It isn't going to come from solar and wind, I can guarantee
you. No, it's not.
We got to do something else.
Agreed.
Right.
Now, the other thing, too, that doesn't get talked much about, Steve, which would be an interesting thing to also sit down and even spend some time with you on after, you know, you and I both do a little research, would be, is there a possibility down the road that we end up having, just like we have gas stations that sort of stand on their own, if we have end up having stand-on-your-own DC charge stations, DC power stations, I could see that being in addition to the grid, because then you wouldn't be sucking out of the grid when you charge those cars. Because DC is direct current versus AC, which is what everything household-wise runs on.
I know, and we already know, even from iPhones and iPads, that, you know, the bigger the block that you plug in, the better the charge is.
Right.
You know, there's all these things about power utilization that is becoming more and more aware to the average person in the public. But we got to do something about how we pay for recharging electric vehicles and how we pay for the roads they drive on, because obviously we don't have gas taxes if we're not using it.
Correct. Yeah, sure. I pay $50 a year to drive my car, which, again, is still cheap if you consider what you would normally pay with gas tax and so on. So it's still a bargain for folks like me that own one of those cars. But to your point, Steve, and this is where it'll be interesting to see where things go and if there's some real innovation, which I believe there is the one thing about Americans. Hopefully we can get some innovation, not subsidized innovation, but real innovation, because I do believe that you could have individual, just like filling stations, and could even convert filling stations currently out there now over to their own DC power generated stations that charge a car within 5 to 10 minutes. That's a doable thing.
Right. That is, and it needs to be, right?
Yes, it does.
If you don't do it, it's never going to get to the point where people are not going to sit around. And I was talking to this guy today about, so what happens if you go out to like Breckenridge or Keystone and you have to pick somebody up and bring them back, or you got to go a little bit farther? Yeah, it's a great ride, but you got to stop in Silverthorne and charge your car for 25 minutes.
Right. More
than, people don't want to charge.
That's if he finds DC. If he's on AC, it's longer than that.
Wait, so tell us. I'd like to know, how long does it take to charge your car?
My particular car, and I don't know about a Tesla, Steve, but my car with a 220 charge station, level 2 charge station, it's 50 miles an hour.
Okay.
So I get 50 miles per hour of charge.
So you have to wait for one hour to be able to travel 50 miles?
I do mine overnight, and I just do my range during the day, so I'm not really – I don't do what Steve just said. But in Steve's example a moment ago, yes, you would have to stop either along the way or find a DC – so for everybody listening, for those of you maybe that don't know, most car guys know, but AC alternating current. That's what everything household-wise, that's what our grid runs on, is AC. The battery in your car or your cell phone or your tractor or whatever, that's a DC, direct current. And DC charging in those particular cars, because it's still a DC battery that's in the car. So what we're doing when we charge in on electric vehicles, we're taking AC, and there's a converter in the car that's taking the AC. It's either in the car or on the wall, and it's converting it to direct current to charge the direct current battery that's in the car. That's why it's slower to charge AC versus DC. If you get a direct charge, you know, DC charge, you can charge that battery much, much faster. Make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
You can also eliminate the need for the converter and the extra costs associated with it. I mean, in the long run, there's a lot of advantages to going direct.
It becomes much cheaper even to charge that car with direct current. But again, we don't have a power grid of DC.
No. And when you're out driving, does it take you a while to find a charging place? Are you driving?
I know where most of them are, the way, and I have an app that shows you where others are. But I drive around enough where I know where they are, yes.
Okay.
There's also maps and things you can go online and just figure out where they are. And talking to this guy who's literally a driver for a living, driving an electric car, he knows where every one of them are. He programs his lunch time so he can stop at one and charge while he's going to lunch.
Okay.
But, you know, in his particular case, I mean, literally a trip, you know, out to the mountains and back, he's got to find a way to get 25 minutes. That reduces his hourly income.
Sure does.
Substantially, while he's just waiting to recharge the car.
Sure. That's right.
So if you charge it overnight, how long can you then drive?
My car in this, and that's the other thing that nobody tells you, by the way. So my car in the summer does about 260 to 275 miles per charge.
When it's totally charged.
When it's totally charged in the summertime. Now, in the wintertime, if it gets super cold out, so we get down to that 10-degree, 15-degree weather or below, I'm down to about 190. So I lose almost 100 miles, third.
So you wouldn't road trip in an electric car?
No, you would not. You can't. Well,
no.
You would have to be very strategic in how you plan all of your. And there's articles, by the way, where people have.
Yeah.
And there's people that love the Chevy Bolt, and they've actually planned cross-country trips, and they'll talk about how long it takes you to get someplace and how much more you have to plan ahead because you're not going to get there as quickly.
No.
Okay. However, the same used to be true of cars and gas tanks, and you know, we've not only made them more fuel efficient, but we've made bigger gas tanks.
True.
In the end, somewhere along the line, we're going to have batteries that'll go, you know, 3,000 miles.
Yeah, a lot.
The question is when, and there's another problem, though. With a battery that will go 3,000 miles, you got to charge it longer.
Right.
So how do you find those DC charging stations that are...
Do you want my invention, Steve?
Can you accelerate a charge?
Well, no, you can't accelerate the charge. But here's what you could do, Steve. This is an idea I've had that maybe you and I need to get together. I think one of the things that could be functional down the road with people like we're talking about are piggyback batteries. I think you could easily have a supply of piggyback batteries at a particular charge place where you lease, rent, however you decide you want to do it, a piggyback charge.
You just pick up a fully charged battery.
Correct. Piggyback into what you have and keep going.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep. And then it's like propane tanks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You can just drop that same battery off somewhere else.
Oh, that's right. That's totally what's going to happen.
That's right. So I could see, and I would, you know, frankly, I would invest in that today if somehow that would.
Oh, yes.
Come to fruition because I think it's one of the answers.
You don't have time to sit around and wait hours while your car is charging. If you could go in here, you know, pay a little extra too.
Or Steve, initially, Steve and Rachel, you piggyback initially to where that range is much longer to begin with, where maybe you get to your destination, have overnight to charge both your battery and your piggyback battery.
Yeah. Look at you.
Exactly.
That's my thought.
I wonder if someone's.
Well, and by the way, and just for everybody listening, these are the things, and Steve, you know this. You don't learn these things without owning one of these vehicles. The reason why I bought one in the first place was to be able to talk educationally and intelligently on air, not only to all of you as guests, but to even the folks that come on as experts, quote unquote.
Right.
I can now talk intelligently with them about these particular vehicles. And I've said it before. A lot of times I interview these folks, and Steve, you can tell right off the bat, they've never owned one because they're reading off a playbook someplace.
Well,
they have no idea how this works.
I've learned a lot just sitting here listening to this.
You'll probably learn, no offense, not bragging, but you'll learn more from me than you will most anybody else because I own one and I'm a car guy.
I didn't know that much about them. I really didn't. So this has been informative for me.
And for everybody listening, they're not the car, and I'm a car advocate across the board. I will always tell you that typically people that complain about their car bought the wrong car because in today's world, all cars are good. I don't care what brand you buy. They're all great. Where people run into problems is they get on the showroom or they go someplace, they get talked into buying a car they never should have bought in the first place. Then they have problems and are mad at the car. And I'm a car advocate. It's not the car's fault. It's the dang driver that bought the car's fault because they bought the wrong car. So electric cars are not bad if they're used correctly.
Right.
Is that the right way to say it, Steve?
Yeah, except for my friend Terry Stevenson, who's been a car guy for a long time, would say, the car salesman probably sold you the wrong car because they didn't do their job very well.
Correct.
But I'm not against car salesmen. But yeah, you're right.
No, and right. Again, the majority of people that have issues with cars typically have bought the wrong car in the first place. And that includes, by the way, I believe even on the electric side, Steve and Rachel, there's a lot of folks that bought an electric car that frankly bought it because of this earth-saving end of things that really, at the end of the day, that wasn't the car they should have bought.
Yeah. Well, I've driven cars for a long time that I didn't like. You just kind of put up with it.
They bought a Tesla because A, it was cool, B, I'm environmentally sound by doing it, and I forgot the fact that lithium is one of the hardest things to mine out of the earth and one of the most corrosive processes of all time.
Correct.
So I didn't really help the earth all that much either.
Right.
Steve, I've done the math on it and I've had this challenge out on Drive Radio Forever. There's not a new car made, period. Electric, Prius, hybrid, you name it, whatever. I don't care. There's not a new car made that if you actually look at all of the energy it takes to build that car, service that car, have the dealership network behind that car. I mean, I can go down the list. If you go down through all of those different things, you could take the existing car you've got and drive it to the moon and back and not use the energy and the resources that it took to build the new car.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
And no one yet has proven me wrong in that case.
No, but isn't that kind of like with a lot of the stuff that we're, like solar panels, when you start to really research them, wind turbines, when you really start to research how they break down?
Yes.
It doesn't really add up.
Yes, and yes. Yeah. And by the way, there's not one, like Steve said earlier, there's not one individual answer to all of this. It's going to be a collective approach across the board when we do all of these things. And by the way, for all of you listening, we will, because technology will take us there.
No question about it. In fact, we don't really want to stop people from buying cool stuff that isn't really financially sound either.
That's right. Thank you, Steve. That's what gets us to the next level.
That advances markets.
Well, we can go all the way back to us going to the moon. Was that financially feasible for us as a country to send guys to the moon? The answer would have been no. We did it, and out of that came products we're using today, so it's a good thing.
It absolutely is.
So there you go.
I mean, Steve, we wouldn't have MRIs and other technology we have that help. It saves lives because we did that. We need people to be innovators and people to be early adopters So that eventually we'll have DC current charging stations throughout the U.S. and people who want to drive electric cars, it will be a great way
to do
it.
That's exactly right. Well said. Steve, as always, I appreciate it very much. Craig in Loveland, we'll get you on before the break real quick. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to comment. There's a company in China called NIO, and they have a battery swap program whereby you basically pull into a bay, and it takes your old battery, takes it away, installs a new one in like 5 minutes.
There you go. That's exactly
what I'm talking about. That's kind of what I was talking about, and that would most likely... And by the way, those cars are built more in the realm where they can do that. You know, a Tesla, my Bolt, by the way, it's an unswappable thing. It's in the chassis. You can't do it.
So they're going to have to start making them that way then.
You'd have to change the way the car is made.
Well, it makes sense.
Yes.
I mean, it's a great program. It's a great option. So you basically, instead of a gas station, it's a battery station.
Correct.
That allows you to go the distance without having to wait hours on end.
Yeah, and by the way, the way we do that even with our current... Go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, no, I heard of another company that's putting a generator in the car as you drive.
Huh. Well, and that would be nothing more than what a Chevy Volt, V as in Victor, a Volt was done that way initially, because it was a hybrid, although it was just an engine with a generator that charged the battery when it got down to about 40% charge. So it really is not a hybrid. It was a true electric car with a charge engine on it, if you would.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, all the technology is happening. It's just a matter of, who's going to be the leader.
That's right. And by the way, if we just let the free market do its thing and get out of the way as a government, it'll all happen.
There you go. I agree. Have a good day.
Craig, thanks as well. I appreciate it. All right, one last comment. Toby, I got about a minute as well. Go ahead.
Yes, I read in the paper where it costs about $100 an hour to charge those.
No, that is way off.
Is that so?
Yeah, that is not the case, Toby. Not even close.
What does it cost, John?
Most of the rates here in Colorado, I have to go back and look, about $1.50 a kilowatt typically is what we pay here, and I'll double check that during the break and tell you all for sure. But no, Toby, that's not even close.
Okay, and how far can you travel on a kilowatt?
I will tell you that as well.
Okay.
I'll come back. I'll be right back. Toby, hang, keep listening. We'll be right back, guys. I'll give you some of those answers real fast. I should know that off the top of my head, but I got too much stuff in my brain.
I got you.
I'll line
it
out as soon as we come back.
I got you.
Frankdown Firearms, folks, coming up next. Right now, there is a wait time to buy a gun, but just ask them. They'll tell you. They'll walk you through it, and it's not a big deal. You buy it, you wait, you get your background check, you go pick it up. It's really that simple. Find them at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
You will remember the people who treated you well during nationwide shortages. Franktown Firearms keeps their prices fair and shelves as full as possible because they value long-term client relationships. The team at Franktown Firearms has clients, not customers. Customers come in numbers with dollar values attached. Clients have names. Clients come back again and again because they feel respected. Because they've developed a reputation for reliability among their suppliers, Franktown Firearms has a more consistent selection of guns and ammo available, which allows them to keep their prices at or below MSRP. They continue to offer reasonable prices because they don't just want you to buy a gun. They want you to come back for training, sign up for a membership, practice on the range, and develop confidence with your firearm. Franktown Firearms, where students become friends. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown for specific pricing on guns and ammo.
All right, Bruce Simmons is next. You heard him earlier as he comes on Thursdays right before we come on air, and he'll help you with whatever your questions are with reverse mortgages. You may be a good fit. You may not. Bruce is a guy that'll tell you for straight up whether you are or aren't. Find him at klzradio.com, 303-467-7821.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
Barber's Foods is next, folks. Anything you need when it comes to our summer barbecue, which is just around the corner. I know it doesn't seem like it right now, but it'll warm up this weekend. It's going to be in the 70s, and it's not that far out there. So get ready for Memorial Day. Get ready for the summer, if you would, and stock up. Go to barbersfoods.com. Again, it's barbersfoods.com.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, BarbersFoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back. Like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Barb with the United Way of Weld County said, "We are very happy with the copiers we currently have, and your customer service is exceptional. Doug is a great technician and is always prompt in coming out whenever we have a problem with one of our copiers. Thanks again for your wonderful partnership and customer service. I'm glad we are working with you." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, so before we went to break, Rachel asked me, how far can I go on a kilowatt on my Chevy Bolt? About 4 miles.
Okay.
I typically use about 270 to 300 kilowatt hours a month.
Okay.
And that will run me anywhere from $35 to $40 a month in electricity.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm driving on average 15, 16,000 miles a year. So
you're kind of using like a third of what most families use in
the
electric bills.
I just looked it up right now. And I just Googled this. The average residential U.S. customer uses 877 kilowatt hours per month. My car in April so far, April's not over, by the way.
Okay.
I've already used in April 277 kilowatt hours, and I took some time off to go see my brother as well. So keep in mind that I probably need to go back in time and look to where I was here for a full month.
So you'll definitely go over 300.
Oh, yeah.
And then most people use 877.
Like I said, I use I use about 50%, really, if you want to get down. Because by the time I get to done, I'll be 350 probably or so, time it's all said and done.
Wow.
So it's half anyways. And it depends on the month. I can use more or less depending upon the month. Wow. I'm down this month. I'm only 1,100 miles so far this month.
Because, we've seen these commercials where it's like, shut your lights off, make sure your lights off are on your home. You don't want to use too much electricity. And here you're driving around really sucking
it
up, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, you betcha. All right.
All right.
Okay, so we got another hour coming your way. Don't go anywhere. There is your Earth Day talk here for that first hour. And, I enjoy talking about this stuff. It's why I bought the car in the first place, to learn more about it and really give you guys some really... if you would, some information you can even share among your peers around the water cooler, because this is firsthand stuff. I'm giving you real-world numbers that you're not going to hear anywhere else.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll come back. We'll talk more about Earth Day, Earth Week, and we're going to talk about the new Chevy Bolt EUV when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.